What's up, guys? I'm Nobody Special, and today we are talking about the car market. I have got the channel's car guy. My buddy Tom Pallella from Car Concierge Plus is here today because we've had a lot of headlines in auto about financing, about tariffs, about insurance. CPI is all over the place. And I like these talks with Tom because it helps me to separate what's going on in the macro world, what's going on in the press and the headlines from what is actually happening with the car buying experience on the ground. Because as the CEO and founder of Car Concierge Plus, Tom buys a lot of cars. He helps individuals like me and like you buy their vehicles. He takes all the hassle out of it. Fantastic service. I've used Tom for the last three cars that I have bought. By the way, I've got links to his website and his information down below. Highly recommend that service. This is not a paid advertisement, though. I'm just recommending because Tom is a stand-up guy, and I love the service. Tom, welcome back to the channel. Thank you for taking the time. And how are you doing today?
Thank you, buddy. It's great to see you again. I am doing fantastic. Big shout out of support to your viewers. I think this is the third or fourth video we've done now. And I would say at least once a week, I get a Nobody Special viewer who reaches out. And it's funny, a lot of your folks will tag or flag and save the videos from even last year. And I always get the, oh, I saw the video you were on with Jack, and I knew when I was ready to buy, I was going to reach out. So it's great to be back. There's a lot going on, obviously, with interest rates and with tariffs and everything else. So it's good to have a little State of the Union chat.
I like the State of the Union angle. That's a nice touch there. And let me just say thank you, by the way. You've saved me a bunch of money over the years. Thank you for the excellent service you have given the channel viewers. I get a lot of emails from people thanking me for hooking them up with you to save money on their cars. And for you guys who maybe you're not in the car market right now, but you might be in a few months or a few years, not a bad idea to copy that link, email it to yourself, otherwise bookmark this video so you have it when you need it. Because like you said, a lot of people have said, I saw you on Jack's channel a year ago, a year and a half ago. Now I'm in the market for a car. So, all right, let's get right into this, Tom, because the real reason I brought you on, besides just a checkup on the auto market, there's been a lot of noise in auto finance over these last couple of weeks. We had what is essentially the biggest bankruptcy in automotive finance since Cash for Clunkers just a few weeks ago with Tricolor Auto Group, who went bankrupt. Now, they're a big used car dealer down south. They do a lot of auto asset-backed securities, you know, bonds made up of car loans, a lot of subprime people with lousy credit scores, immigration crackdowns and things like that played a factor here. But I have noticed that since that story broke, there's a lot of vigilance about auto financing. And I want to share my screen with you here and show you this story because we got this one from Fitch, and I'll bring this up bigger on screen so people can see it more clearly. But Fitch released this note just last Friday. And there's a North American Auto ABS Monitor. Fitch Ratings expects U.S. auto loan ABS, that's asset-backed security, bonds made up of car loans. The performance will deteriorate in 2025 due to higher debt servicing costs, weaker economic growth. And then they say, despite improvements in delinquencies and losses, subprime auto loan ABS remains under significant stress, with delinquencies reaching record highs. And I couldn't help but highlight the irony here. They're saying despite improvements in delinquencies, delinquencies are reaching record highs. Someone's going to have to make that make sense to me, but we're not going to focus on that contradiction right away. I guess what I'm getting at here, Tom, is there's some alarm bells, some early innings starting to go off in the auto finance space. Are you seeing that with any of your clients? Is there difficulty getting financing or loans getting more expensive or harder to come by?
Yeah. So, you know, it was a big story. I mean, you know, I keep a pulse on this kind of auto world, you know. When a bankruptcy this size happens, right, it's always going to prompt questions about the overall kind of organic health of the auto finance sector, right? You know, subprime loans like Tricolor specialized in the grand scheme of things, that they make up a pretty small portion of the automotive market, right? It's less than, I think, 14 or 15% of the market go to subprime buyers. But when a huge lender like this fails and borrowers can't pay their loans, you know, it does signify trouble for the whole economy, or it could, right? It also becomes a headache for borrowers in general, because lenders, you know, whoever picks up those loans, they're going to get pickier about who they lend to. So for some customers, buying a car will get even harder, right? And you've heard me, Jack, now 4 or 5 videos, I always mention it. I'm always on my credit score, financial literacy soapbox. And that's why, you know, channels like yours do such a service for folks out there. And let's face it, most of your viewers are very financially savvy. When they call and reach out to me, I would say about 90% of our clients, they're wildly financially literate. They know their credit score down to the point. They either have the money saved to buy in cash, or they already are pre-approved for a loan. But those other 10% of our clients nationwide, they do have poor credit scores. So this is going to impact those folks more so probably than in the last 5 to 10 years. I would just say, and you know, if for those folks that shy away from knowing their credit score, I have folks, Jack, that will call, and the first question, one of my little checklist questions are, how's your credit score? What is your credit score? You know, oh, it's a 740, and then they go to pick up their car and it's really a 618. The question is, well, you know, I get the laundry list of, well, I had this foreclosure, or I didn't pay off braces in full, or I'm going through a divorce, or right, the excuse mill starts coming out. I always want to be sympathetic, but I just tell people what that monthly payment is now going to get completely jacked up, whether it's a lease or a finance or whatever. So news like this, really people need to be made aware, but hopefully for the core and crux of your viewers, it won't affect them much, because they will have their finances in order.
So it sounds like maybe you're not necessarily seeing any big effect yet. You tend to have a higher credit score clientele, so maybe it won't show up right away in your numbers. But I do think you're correct in that this is going to make it harder for subprime borrowers in the future. You know, it's not 2022 anymore. They're not mailing everybody stimmies every week. Correct. And, you know, banks aren't lending money to anybody with a pulse. They're going to get more careful. So if you have good credit, this won't apply to you. If you have bad credit, it absolutely will. And, you know, I always like to say the time to worry about your credit score was a year ago or 2 years ago. You know, if you That's wait right. until you're in That's the market right. to buy a car, it's too late to fix your credit score. So
it is your credit score and your finances should be in order 8 to 10 months before a car purchase is ever on the table. Right. And I'm sure there will be some comments in the box. You know, it's funny because I get a lot of viewers saying like, oh, I thought this was just like a high end service. I thought I could only hire you to get me a BMW or an Audi, or the correlation of high credit score and big budget. They're not, you know, they don't see eye to eye. Most of my clients that have 800 plus credit scores, they're buying a pre-owned Toyota. They're buying a new Honda. They're buying, most of my folks buying those $80,000 splurge purchases are doing it on a kind of a shoestring monthly budget. And really it's to flex on the neighbors.
Yes. And let me just say, as a person who has bought a couple of shit boxes using Tommy's service, you don't need to be in the market for a Maserati to save money with Tom. All right. They were nice vehicles. All the cars Tom put me in were nice cars, but I am, you know, my interest and my pickiness does not extend to the auto buying experience. I'm a simple guy. So you can save money even on the lower end of things. And I always pay for cash too, which doesn't actually help me very much at the dealer.
No, it's I'm glad you brought that up. Before we talk about tariffs, let's talk about that for a second. Yes. For some reason, my Italian relatives, namely at the top of the list, they think that buying a car in cash puts them in complete control of the negotiation. Buying in cash, I always recommend, because why take a loan out for a depreciating asset if you don't have to? Buying a car in cash actually puts you in a lesser position in terms of negotiation. And there are many dealers now that will actually have a financed price and a cash price. And the cash price is usually $1,000 or $2,000 higher. because since for many dealerships, the margins are so slim on cars now, especially pre-owned, and you come in paying in cash or a bank check, they don't get that kickback from the bank, from the loan. So a lot of times I'll tell my clients, hey, if we're going to save another $2,000, take the loan, pay it off in 90 days in full, pay the 3 months of interest, and you'll net, you know, $1,850 ahead of what you would have paid had you walked in with a bag full of cash or a personal check.
Yep. And we actually did that. My second car I bought from you, that's what we did. It did save me a bunch of money, and I did. I paid off the loan in full. I think it was mandatory three months before, like, you get hit with early payoff fees and things like that. But I did. It's the only time in my life I've ever had a car payment was because it saved me a bunch of money on the sticker price by financing it.
And that is the only time I will recommend it. Listen, I'm not a financial advisor. I tell everybody that. I always encourage people, speak with your financial advisor, whoever your money person is. Sometimes if you have the $50,000 in cash to spend on a car, you may be able to put that somewhere else and let it work for you, especially with some 0% interest rates right now. Folks that buy their cars in cash when there's a 0% interest rate on the table is mind-boggling to me. I know people like to have that title. They like to hold the note. They like to know they don't owe anyone any money. But at a 0% interest rate, that $50,000 over 5 years could have made you exponential gains. But again, I don't ever tell anyone to take my advice. I encourage them, go talk to your accountant, talk to your financial advisor. Most of the time they come back and say, hey, Tom, your car guy, it's spot on. Like, don't buy this thing outright if there's 0% available.
Yeah. I mean, 0% interest. Interest is the price of money. And if interest is 0%, somebody's offering you free money. Take it.
It's free money. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
All right. So you did hint at tariffs there. And I want to show you a couple things because I want to get into what are we seeing on the ground. Let me show you what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing in the charts. And then you tell me, what is the car buyer seeing? First things first, consumer price index for new vehicles. This is new car inflation. And we're going back 5 years here. So you can see here back in 2021, 22, that's when the inflation really took off. The chip shortage, car prices went wacko. And then right around 2023, they leveled off. And by the way, this is the index. This is not the rate of change. So that you can assume this is like price level here. It hasn't really moved much other than a percent or two up or down for the last 2 or 3 years. Used cars, on the other hand, different story. Again, you had prices went vertical in 21 and 22. Then they actually came down quite a bit when the chip shortage was over. Now they're starting to creep up. But again, since Liberation Day, we'll say since the tariffs, you haven't really had much of a big change in used car prices. And the last little data point I'll throw at you is this tidbit: Japanese automakers slash export prices to offset 25% tariffs. This is something I've talked about a few times on my daily live streams about how the Japanese are eating the tariffs, lowering their prices. It's putting pressure on Japanese automaker margins. So according to the data I'm looking at right now, tariffs are not yet showing up in the auto market. Is that aligned with what you're seeing at the ground level?
It's really brand dependent, right? So it's everybody just always assumes like, oh, you know, GM's an American brand and therefore I'm not going to pay any price increase. There is no auto manufacturer that is solely sourced in the US. Tesla, believe it or not, has the highest rate of its parts being sourced in the US. But yeah, that's a really important differentiation is, are the parts built in the US? Is the vehicle being manufactured in the US, or are the parts outsourced to other countries and physically assembled in the US? That will impact the rate of which you're gonna see the tariff increases. Now, there are certain exceptions. So a lot of Japanese auto manufacturers, Toyota and Honda and such, their pricing has remained fairly flat. And I'm talking for new, from let's say 25 to 26, maybe it's $100, $200 increase on something like a $40,000 Honda CR-V. Not much of a jump, right? That's what the historic increase was. Brands like Volkswagen, they have seen increases almost at the highest rate of any brand. So I'll give you an example, Jack. So a 2025 Volkswagen GTI, right? Their four-door little compact sporty hatch versus a 26 GTI. I don't have the exact number, but I know for a fact it's up almost $1,800 or $1,900 from year over year. So you do that math with that, whatever that percentage increase is. That's a huge jump. There are certain, let's call them non-luxury brands that you're going to see monstrous jumps from 25 to 26. So, you know, I always like to give my little kind of Tom's tips, right? So my recommendation is if you are in the market for a new, let's stick with new for a second. If you're in the market for a new car, I would propose that you buy a 25 now before they're all gone. Why risk it, right? Why roll the dice that you're going to see an increase? Because 26s, most of them or a lot of them will be in the market soon and will continue through the spring and summer of next year. So if you're in the market for a new car, buy one now, grab a leftover. It's technically a leftover 25. And most importantly, if you really want to make sure that the tariffs aren't going to affect your pricing, buy a car with a born date of prior to April of 25, because then it was manufactured prior to the tariff date, and you're sure that the pricing wouldn't have increased from, let's say, Jan 1 through whatever, end of March of 2025. Now, you know, for on the luxury brand side, they have quietly eaten a lot of the tariff increases and have not passed those on. Brands like BMW, brands like Audi, brands like Mercedes, they've stayed somewhat flat in terms of their increases over price, but it makes sense because their margins are so wildly large on luxury cars that, you know, something like a BMW X5, there's probably six, seven, eight, nine, $10,000 worth of markup on cars like that. So they can absorb some or all of that tariff increases, price increases without passing it along to the consumers. Yes, they're taking a bit of a haircut on their overall, you know, margin, but they're making so much money on the back end that they wouldn't feel it as much as a smaller company. I shouldn't say smaller, Volkswagen is larger, but a company like Volkswagen without as many margins.
So let me just throw something out real quick for the viewers here. With Tom saying buy a 25 now versus waiting till 2026, I just want to emphasize that's not just Tom pumping his service. He has come on this channel many times and told people, contrary to his own interests, to wait to buy a car. So Tom is a straight shooter. If he says wait, it means he's looking at the data and it legitimately means you can get a better deal if you wait, even though that means he makes less money now. So when Tom is saying buy a 25 now, it means he really thinks the prices are going to go up.
That's right. And this is not, I appreciate you saying that. So we actually last week, actually, what is the date? 23rd, the 15th of September was our 13-year business anniversary. So I started this business 13 years ago. For those of your viewers who don't know, I'm physically located in New Jersey. I thought this was going to be a little local tri-state area business. And over the last 13 years, it has expanded and blown up nationwide. So we have clients in every state across the country. We have thousands of connections with dealerships. Thank you for saying that because I believe it was maybe March of last year, we did a video and I told people, do not buy a car right now. Wait 3 or 4 months. The prices will come down. You know, was it a bit detrimental to my business and my livelihood? At the moment, yes, but I always will do what is right for people. And I can't tell you how many of your viewers saved the video. They called me in the fall. They were like, wow, you were right. Thanks for that piece of advice. This is a relationship-built business. My relationship with my customers, my relationship with people like you who trust my advice, my relationship with the dealerships who give me pricing that you would never see on your own. This is not some fly-by-night broker business that pops up in your neighborhood and goes away. Like this business only succeeds and has been successful because of being honest and because of relationships. So I appreciate you saying that. And again, the rally cry to buy a 25 is not, even if you don't use me or use my service, I would still say, go ahead, do your research, do your homework, and buy a 25 now and don't wait till 26. Why would you roll the dice with your family's money?
And you know, another thing you touched on there in your prior answer about how luxury brands probably going to be somewhat immune or resistant to price increases from tariffs, but the lower end, not so much. You know, like Nissan, the Japanese automaker, they're like a lower end Japanese automaker. They'd be lucky to survive the year at this point. They're cutting production, laying people off because they lowered their prices, but their margins are just crushed, which were too small to begin with. They're on the fence here. So as always with most things macroeconomics, whenever there's policy change, it's usually the poor people who pay the biggest price, no matter what kind of a change they're making. And with tariffs in the auto space, it's no different here. So another reason to get that credit score up, another reason to just be careful, guys, because, you know, it's the people at the bottom of the totem pole who bear the brunt of it every time.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned Nissan. So I have a lot of, so obviously over 13 years, I have had clients that I think the number one family now has used us like 17 times total, you know, mom, dad, son, daughter, grandma, grandpa, all within one house, right? I think 17 times they're in North Carolina. They're the number one. They get the car concierge plus trophy. I don't think anyone will touch that. I have had more. So as you know, as I've gotten to know these people over the last 13 years, most of my clients historically are very brand loyal, right? You grew up in a Subaru household. Mom is a Subaru, dad, you're a Subaru family, whatever that means, right? You're a Honda family, you're a BMW family because you love the way they drive. I have had more brand hopping, switching, whatever you want to call it, in the last 18 months than I think I ever have in the last 13 years. People are starting to realize the power of savings more so than ever before. I have, you know, BMW clients who are now cross-shopping Genesis, which is a super luxury brand that was not on people's radar for many years because, oh, it's a fancy Hyundai, until they realize they can lease a comparable Genesis for 30, 40% less than that BMW. I have people that are cross-shopping Hyundai and Kia now, you know, something like the Hyundai Palisade, which again, I'm a traditional, you know, my family's a Honda family, whatever, and we only buy Honda Pilots, until you realize, well, that Hyundai Palisade is a great alternative and they're offering 0% and I can get $4,000 or $5,000 less than that Pilot. That's a pretty compelling financial proposition to kind of hop brands, you know, whether it's on a purchase, maybe it's not going to last as, you know, 15, 20 years like your Honda would, but to save between the interest rate and the savings on the car, that could be in excess of $9,000, $10,000 over what that Honda Pilot would have cost. That's a pretty compelling, you know, proposition to take a look at other brands that historically folks have not.
That's a very interesting point. You know, you're talking about entrenched brand loyalty is starting to go away. That's market share that's up for grabs.
Well, and car companies are starting to relay, you know, Volvo was getting the most aggressive. Volvo was doing whatever they can to hold on to their Volvo customers. So historically, if you're in a lease, Volvo and other car companies will give you like a 3 to 4 month waiver. Hey, you have 3 months left. Come in. We'll waive your last three payments. As of this month, Volvo is 6 months out. So if you're in a Volvo lease right now, it's called a pull ahead. They will waive, literally waive, because some companies will bake it into your new lease. Volvo will waive those last 6 months of Volvo leases as long as you get into another Volvo. Volvo's offering more loyalty cash than anybody else right now. Volvo's a very weird brand. It's a wonderful brand. They're in a weird place because they're not quite BMW, Audi. They're way more sophisticated than a Mazda, Subaru, Hyundai. So Volvo plays with the Infinities and Acuras and Lexuses, and they are throwing cash at their loyal Volvo folks to keep them, you know, in a Volvo vehicle.
So if I could summarize the whole discussion on tariffs, some interesting points here. Luxury brands more resistant than the low end, jibes with what I'm seeing. Brand loyalty up for grabs. A lot more perks being offered to preserve that brand loyalty. That's companies jockeying for market share. So almost a little bit of downward pressure on prices because of that. That's interesting as well. You get a good look at these people's and insight into their lives. You mentioned over 13 years buying 17 cars. a family like that, that is dead set on a brand, now the differences in price are so big that you've broken through that.
Well, and I'll give you a personal family anecdote, a look into, again, the Pallella household. Not for me personally, my father, Joseph Pallella, he's in his 70s. He has been Chevy loyal since he was probably 14 years old, driving a car illegally, right, in Irvington, New Jersey. I hope you don't have any police officers that are your viewers, but I think statute of limitations, whatever. There has been nothing but a Chevy in my parents' driveway since I was born. There was no other choice for them. They went from a Chevy Malibu to a Chevy Cruze to they're now on their fourth Chevy Equinox. I almost dropped my phone when I was talking to my dad because, you know, it's getting a little long in the tooth and there's someone that keeps their cars and pays them off and keeps them. Shocking that he's considering a Hyundai. I never thought I would see the day. This has nothing to do with being, you know, I want to support American manufacturing and he bleeds red, white, and blue through and through. But as somebody on a fixed income now, and from, again, a sales and savings proposition, this is the first time he's ever considering a different brand than Chevy. I never thought I would see the day. But again, is he going to be brand loyal when it means $6,000 or $7,000 in savings for, again, an older couple that's on a fixed income? It makes perfect sense, and it rang true to me anecdotally more for the first time ever because I've only seen that gold bow tie ever growing up, and there may be a Hyundai badge in their driveway, which is shocking to me.
Yeah, the Ford Chevy debate happens a lot at the firehouse with those guys. Everybody's in a pickup truck, and you know, there's like me and two other Toyota guys, and we just
I was gonna say, right, then the Toyota Tundra shows up and gets made fun of, and right.
When your Ford Ranger breaks down, give me a call. I'll come pick you up in my Tacoma.
Yeah. That's right. So that is, and then one other thing I just wanted to mention before we wrap up the tariff is auto insurance, right? Because this is something I chat with a lot of our auto insurance agents, you know, networking wise, a lot of them are my clients. God forbid, a lot of my clients will be in accidents and they'll say, hey, can you talk to my auto insurance broker and figure out what we're looking for and whatever. I haven't seen it quite hit or burst yet, but it's safe to say that because of these increased prices on cars, because of the increased prices on auto, especially auto parts that are being hit with these tariffs, auto insurance policies, if your viewers haven't felt that yet, they will increase. And I'm not talking like, you know, 1% or 2%. Some of them are set to really explode, especially in wildly overpriced states like Florida, like New Jersey, where auto insurance is a mortgage payment for some families. So that's just something I wanted to mention as well, that if your premium is coming up or you're trying to lock in, I don't know if that's even available, but try to get something fixed for an auto, you know, for an auto insurance policy now, because how could they not increase substantially if you're in a car accident and the price of that bumper is now 28% higher than it was last year? It's just, that is something that I think we're going to see explode in 26 as premiums.
You know, Tommy, you must have the ESP kicking in this morning because, you know, I got it queued up right here, the Consumer Price Index for motor vehicle insurance. And again, this is a five-year chart. We're going back to 2021, 22. You can see most of the increase, there was big increases in insurance in 22, 23, and 24. Big year-over-year changes. This showed up in the transportation services category. In CPI, it's one of the big inputs there. It's one of the big core non-housing services that Jerome Powell over at the Fed was so worried about. But you can see it kind of did taper off for the last year or so, which means it doesn't mean the prices went down. It means they stopped going up. But you're now two or three moves ahead, Tom. You're seeing what's coming because I think it's safe to say there are going to be price increases, at least some, due to the tariffs with more expensive cars. Comes more expensive insurance. And you even mentioned parts. That's a very good point because we just got this one. This was just yesterday. This story broke. Auto supplier First Brands prepares for bankruptcy after lenders question their financials. Now, this is a big supplier of parts. They own, they're listed a couple of names here. They were in there somewhere. They own like Fram filters. They do windshield wipers, oil filters, air filters, right? All kinds of auto parts. Now, there may be some unique things to this story, kind of like Tricolor had some unique angles to it. There was some fraud going on at Tricolor. These guys have taken on a lot of debt to buy a lot of names and to expand through very aggressive leverage. So it's possible that's playing an outsized role in the bankruptcy here. But most auto parts are made overseas and they are subject to tariffs. And, you know, the fact that you got a big supplier is going to go bankrupt, that is not good for prices, right? That means less supply possibly on the market. That means they're probably going to have to raise prices in order to stay solvent. All of these things, higher prices and higher vehicle, higher parts prices and higher vehicle prices, right? That's telling us insurance is going to go up. And, you know, we had a conversation over the phone yesterday about how a lot of people don't realize the difference from model to model in insurance can offset a big difference in the payment associated with a vehicle.
Yes. So I tell my clients, a lot of folks think of budget in terms of monthly payment. Let's say you're not in the financial position to buy your car outright. So a lot of people, you know, we're going to have a monthly payment. They are so fixated on just that one number that they dismiss, or they're kind of, you know, horse blinders to everything else. I always like to paint the full picture, right? Because again, I try to make this a full service. So if I have someone, I'll give you an example. I had a gentleman from Texas. He was in a, speaking of a Chevy Malibu, he was in a Chevy Malibu sedan. It was paid off. He wanted to get a Chevy Silverado truck, and he had a very strict monthly budget of what he could afford, right? What he wasn't factoring is going, so forget about the new car payment on the truck. You're now going from a four-cylinder, 32 miles a gallon. He was getting a monster eight-cylinder, call it 18, 20 miles a gallon. He had a 50 mile a day commute, right? So again, I don't want to ever talk anybody out of anything, but I try to say, do you think a V8 pickup is the best commuter car? Why don't you keep the Malibu? Let's get a pre-owned Silverado. You can have your weekend toy. The answer was no, okay? So I said, okay, but just let's do the quick ghetto math. Your gas bill alone every month now, I said on the conservative side, $300 a month for gas, right? So his $500 a month Chevy car payment is now $800 a month. The difference between the car insurance on the two trucks, I had him run it, was about $219 a month different. Just that alone, Jack, you're up to $1,000 a month on a car. So this gentleman was going from paying nothing to his paid off Malibu to $1,000 plus a month on the low end to have this truck as a daily, you know, once I broke it down like that. And again, I don't think of, oh, I might be talking a client out of hiring me and my service. I don't ever think that way. I just want him to have a full picture, because a lot of people, again, are so fixated on, well, that's my car payment. That's the amount that comes out of my debit account. You know, there's so many other factors that, you know, 18-inch tires on a Chevy Malibu. You go to Costco, Pep Boys, whatever, they're $130 to replace. Big 22-inch tires on a Chevy Silverado truck, they're triple, if not quadruple, the price to have. So you have to, I always tell people the total cost of ownership to keep the car on the road for 1 year. And that involves your car payment, your insurance, if you need any repairs, the cost of gas, all of that. That is your true monthly car payment, not just what you sign on the loan.
Yeah, and just to echo what you just mentioned about tires there, I want to send a shout out to one of my viewers, Nashville Pasta Man. We talk a lot, and he's got a buddy who works very high up in the auto tire industry, and that lines up a lot with what I've said. There's a lot of competition from imported tires, and there's a lot of low-end alternatives for passenger vehicles for those cheap tires. But when you get up into the big trucks, you got a couple of players in that market, and they control price, and they are going to get you on your tires there. So
they
great
are.
Points. The all-in cost is very important.
You do not want to cheap out on tires. Tires are the, think of like, your core. You could have the biggest biceps in the world, but if your core is not strong, then your body's not strong. Tires are what is hitting the pavement every day. And people will have these gorgeous sports cars and put cheap tires and they'll skid out. They'll have these big lifted trucks and then cheap out on the tires and they'll have no grip on the road. I'm not a tire salesperson, but tires are such an underrated part of a vehicle, both for performance and safety.
Great points there, as always. Now, look, Tommy, we touched on the big three that I wanted to get into. We touched on insurance, we did tariffs, we did financing. I like to wrap up every interview with you with some of Tom's tips. Tommy's
Tom's
tips for saving
tips.
money on the cars, and not to have you give away what you're selling,
No.
but I know you like talking about this stuff too.
I
So
do.
give us a little insight into how you save people money when they buy cars.
I have some good ones for you, I think, this time. So here's kind of Tom's tips, September 2025. There's three or four quick ones, and then we can wrap this up, right? So first one, know your credit score like your child's name. It is so financially irresponsible to not know your credit score and scores because there's three bureaus. There are free apps on your phone like Credit Karma with a K. Again, I have no affiliation, but you should know your score. If you're going to be buying a car, you should know that score a year in advance, 6 months in advance, 3 months in advance, and the month that you're buying, because your score can fluctuate, things can happen. So that's it. Know your credit score like your kids' names. Not all used purchases are created equal. So brands like Toyota and Honda right now, they're holding their value so well in the pre-owned market that sometimes the delta between a pre-owned purchase and a new purchase could be $3,000 or $4,000. Not to make light of that, but brands like Toyota, so for example, I do a lot of pre-owned Toyota RAV4s and Honda CR-Vs and Subaru Crosstreks. And when you look that a brand new Subaru Crosstrek with the discounts, let's call it 28,000, and a 2021 with 50,000 miles is 24,000. That is a lot of car and a lot of driving for a $3,000 or $4,000 saving. So not all pre-owns are created equal. Buy that BMW off a lease and get that 33% depreciation. Buy the luxury. I love pre-owned. I love certified pre-owned even more, right? Really do your research and see if a new car purchase for some brands is worth it. Third tip, speaking of new versus used, consider new versus used based upon the APR that's being offered, right? Right now, like I'd mentioned, a Hyundai Palisade new is 0% for 60 months. A pre-owned Palisade with a good credit score, you're going to get around 6 or 7%. That difference of 7% over 5 years, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. So I will run the math. I have folks that will call me and say, I want a used car. I want a used car. Just inherently, because I'm a numbers geek, I will know who's offering 0% or 0.9 or whatever. And I'll say, have you ever considered new? And they're like, no, I don't want a new car. I don't want to. We'll run the numbers. And in that instance, the pre-owned Palisade versus the new Palisade, it was like a $41 a month difference. And they're in a brand spanking new car. So that's the other tip. And then the last tip I wanted to mention is EVs. Now, there will be comments in the comment section. I know your viewers are not big EV fans. Hi, everyone. But if you are in the market for an EV, now is the time to buy one because that federal savings of $7,500 or at or about $7,500 is going away on September 30th. Will it come back? I don't know. No one knows. If you are in the market for any EV, what's it, the 23rd? Buy
A
it in the
week.
next 7 days. Whether
Wow.
you use me, don't use me, that federal rebate, that tax savings is going away. So again, if you're in the market for an EV, buy one now. $7,500 is a lot of money to just give up if you walk in next Wednesday versus next Tuesday. And then the last thing is, this is really not a public service announcement, but this is just, I always tell my clients this, if you have the love and the time to do this on your own, maybe you don't need me or you don't need a service like mine, right? But from start to finish, the average car shopper spends, let's call it 10 to 18 hours total doing research, doing test drives, wasting a Saturday, sitting at the dealership, negotiating the pricing, waiting for the manager to come back with the paperwork. When you hire us, it's very simple. You have a 10, 15 minute phone call. You tell us what we're looking for, and we tell you to block off 90 minutes max to go pick up the car. And that is it. So your 10 to 18 hours of investment gets whittled down to, let's call it, you know, 100 minutes total from start to finish of your time and effort. So those are my tips. I thank you again for having me on. Your viewers have been amazing over the last few years. I can't tell you, you know, all walks of life, California to Florida to Texas to New Jersey and everybody in between. They've been super, super supportive. I know I'm going to get dinged in the comments for that EV shout out. I'm ready to accept that full open with open arms. But all kidding aside, thank you. Your viewers have been awesome. I'm glad these videos really do some good, you know, for folks.
And I've gotten a lot of that feedback, a lot of those emails as well from people thanking me for setting them up with you because you saved them a lot of money. You've saved me a lot of money and headache over the years with the cars that you've bought for me. A couple of the things you just said really jumped out at me. The September 30th date, I knew the EV tax credits were going away. I didn't realize it was happening in a week.
Yes.
So, you know, S or get off the P, folks. If you're looking at if you're looking at an EV, big difference in the next couple of days. So very good data point there. You really surprised me with the APR with consider buying new, because I have always been very much dead set on, I like new used, right? I like used vehicle. I always say there's an invisible toll booth at the car lot. The second you drive it off, it costs you $5,000-$6,000, whatever they depreciate when you drive it off the lot. And that hasn't changed. You still do have that big depreciation, but 0% APR versus several hundred dollars a month, you will make up that new car depreciation real fast at that rate. Yes. So that's a really good tip there, Tom. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Once again, folks, that is Tom Pallella from Car Concierge Plus. He is my car guy. He buys my cars. I'm going to put a link to his website down below. If you're in the market for a car, you fill out that information and you'll get a phone call from Tom or one of his guys. And I'm telling you, they are fantastic. They'll listen. They'll ask you questions, find out what you want. They'll offer alternatives. They will handle everything for you. You just test drive. And then when you're ready, you sign. And I cannot thank you enough, Tom, for everything that you've done for me and the viewers. And again, guys, not a paid advertisement at all. I just really like this service. Thanks again, Tommy, and everybody else. Till next time, live small and dream big.